It's time to get underway with a special edition of Radio Friendships from our location in Galveston, Texas, where we're helping to meet the needs of people for the love of Jesus Christ. Radio Friendships is brought to you by Don and Sandra Tipton of Friendships Unlimited, which is located in Lake Charles, Louisiana. As the Lord said in Isaiah 1:18, come, let us reason together.
Great day and welcome to Radio Friendships. This is Jeff Reed standing in for Don and Sandra Tipton from Galveston, Texas. Well, today we want to bring you an interview of another person from California. And yes, we have had a lot of people from California respond to the help and the cleanup of Hurricane Ike in Galveston, Texas. So welcome to Radio Friendships, Matt McManus.
That's good to be here, Jeff. Thank you.
Now, Matt, are you originally from California?
Yeah, born and raised.
So what was that like growing up in California?
A little skater crowd. I grew up in the punk rock scene, which back in the 80s was pretty popular, you know, skater punk rock scene, yeah.
Would you say that's still a part of your life?
Yeah, I still skate. We did a little skating out here on their time off from being of service to the Lord out here in Galveston and being of service to the people out here. We took some time off at the end of the day to go skating at the skate park down the way, so it was pretty cool.
What exactly is the mindset of that skater-surfer crowd?
The skating scene, compared to the rest of the guys, is some of the guys at our church, including our pastors, who are pro skaters, you know, Christian Asoy and Jay Hazlip. But, you know, I'm not no pro skater, but being raised in that era, skating is it's a way of life. It's the camaraderie among skaters, and the fellowship is unique, and it's pretty cool, you know. Pretty much, if you're not skating, you're not cool. That's the way I was raised to be, like, or surfing. You know, surfing and skating kind of went hand in hand. But, yeah, the brotherhood of skaters, it's unique, yeah.
Well, a city as diverse as Los Angeles, I'm sure there's a lot of things to offer a young man growing up. What were some of the challenges you faced growing up there?
Well, I actually grew up in a bad neighborhood along East Side Long Beach. I grew up in a big family. Seven brothers and sisters. I grew up with temptations all around me. A lot of guys in my neighborhood started doing drugs at a young age and started drinking at a young age. The punk rock scene in the mid-80s was getting really big and pretty radical, and it was like the thing to do. So I pretty much fell into that crowd at an early age. The drugs, partying, even gangs.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, gangs were really popular, and just about everybody in my neighborhood was part of some kind of gang.
Well, you know what? If this is tied into your testimony, how you came to know the Lord, why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Okay, well, actually, the skating did kind of lead me into this one particular gang. It was called the Suicidals. There's a punk rock band called the Suicidal Tendencies. Yeah. There is, you know, and they started off in Venice. And the punk rock scene in Long Beach was getting pretty violent. So they started a gang called the Suicidal Punks in Long Beach. And it was predominantly Samoans that started it off in Long Beach. And Asians started getting involved with us. And there was probably about a handful of white guys. And it grew into a very large, very violent gang in Long Beach. It was a punk rock gang that started off back in like 84. And it's still going on today.
Let me ask you, when you first consider a gang, what goes into that?
Well, when I got into the drug scene, you know, I always felt not a part of anything. You know, I felt empty inside. I wanted to be a part of something. And again, it ties in with the camaraderie, just feeling part of something. And you can't be really part of anything that's positive when you're caught up with the obsession of drug abuse and alcohol abuse. So, the only way to resort to find a place to fit in on the east side of Long Beach is you're going to get into some kind of gang, most likely.
At what point did you realize that you needed drugs?
It was probably the summer before my senior year is when the partying really started getting wild. And I was drinking a lot for a couple of years at that time. And, you know, in Southern California and Long Beach, you know, in the 80s, cocaine and meth was really running wild on the streets. It was hard not to come across it. And pretty much the minute I started using it, I was hooked, and my life had radically changed and took me right out to the wilderness immediately. I was on the streets, and it was a downward spiral from there.
You know, we hear a lot of times with people that are in gangs is they felt like they didn't have very many options. But when you tie in drug addiction, that does take away options. Is that right? The way you felt?
Yeah, absolutely. And plus, my family life at home wasn't much love and compassion shown at there. You know, 7 brothers and sisters. My dad was an alcoholic, and he was very violent and abusive, both physically and verbally. And my mother, she just kept her mouth shut and didn't really back talk to my father or question his actions. So I didn't really like being at home, so it kind of led me out to the streets, you know, and when you're out on the streets, you got to find some kind of camaraderie out there, and that's how I fell into it.
Had you heard anything at this point about the Lord? I mean, was there any church going and any family members at all?
Well, actually, I was raised in a Catholic church. I went to Catholic school for my first 7 years of schooling, but I didn't really pay attention into school. And, you know, after school, I was scared going home to my father. There wasn't the love of Jesus Christ that Jesus would show his family.
Yeah.
I wasn't getting that kind of love from my father and my mother. So I guess you would say I believed in Jesus Christ, even though there was a question in my mind just because of my upbringing and the violence and the abuse and the alcoholism that was taking over my father and where he was bringing him. It wasn't attractive to me. It wasn't until after 7th grade when I went into public schools and I stopped going to church. I actually, once I got into crimes, I went into that same church that I was raised in. I stole the collection money. And I even went in there with bolt cutters and pretended I was praying in church, waited for the church to clear out, and I went around and popped all the locks on the donation cylinders. What I was thinking at the time, it only shows me that I definitely did not have Christ living within me.
You know, even saying that, there's times where we could be caught up in addiction. Well, you don't even have to be caught up in addiction. You can be caught up in sin and still feel like you're a pretty decent person. You're not so bad. Did you think you were okay?
You know, there was a time in my life after I got strung out on drugs for a long time, I joined the military around 21 years old, and I got off drugs for a little while. Temporarily, which it was about a year or two. And I thought because I was a Marine, you know, life of a Marine, which, you know, I'm not going to speak for all of them, but we partied real hard and we went to a lot of massage parlors and strip clubs. Yeah. And I've been with a lot of prostitutes in Oceanside and San Diego. And I thought just because I wasn't using drug and I was labeled as a United States Marine serving my country, I could. Yeah. That lifestyle seemed normal to me, and I thought I was a good Marine because I wasn't doing drugs, but I was living a very sinful life.
Well, I have a feeling we're coming up to the answer to this sinful life in just a minute, because we're going to have to take a break here, Matt. When we come back, I want to ask you about the rest of the story. So Amen. We'll be right back. Join us now for 60 Seconds with Sondra Tipton of Friendships Unlimited.
Do you know that God told us to love our neighbor as we do ourselves in 7 different books of the Bible? It's in the Old Testament, in Leviticus. In the New Testament, it's in Matthew, Mark, Luke, Romans, Galatians, and James. When Jesus is asked, "What is the greatest command?" He says, "To love God and to love our neighbor." But who is our neighbor? The Lord told the story of the Good Samaritan who goes way out of his way to help a stranger who's a crime victim get back on his feet. In this story, the man's neighbor is not defined by geography, nationality, or religion. Jesus says that the man who helped the Jew was a neighbor because he gave help to someone in need. Jesus tells us to go and do likewise. How can you show love to someone today?
For more information about Friendships Unlimited, go to www.friendships.org. As the pages turn on the calendar and the clock ticks on the wall, one thing All right, we're back with Matt McManus. Now, Matt, people that are caught up in addiction find some of those really desperate, lonely, hopeless times where you feel at the end. Was there ever a moment where you cried out to God or thought of Him at all?
You know, I could think of the first time I cried out to the Lord, and it was not long before I joined the Marines. It was Christmas time, actually, and I had been out in the streets, and I had been up, strung out on drugs with no sleep or food or anything for like 3 or 4 days. And Christmas Eve was a big time for my whole family, normally spent at my Aunt Pat's house. So I figured it was Christmas Eve. I can go home getting some food and take a shower and change my clothes, because I've been wearing the same clothes for like 4 or 5 days, and I was real tired, and it was a really cold night, and I waited for like around 9 o'clock. So I remember walking down my block, and I came up to my parents' house, and I looked in the front living room window. I was standing out on the sidewalk, and the blinds were open, and my family was home. And I stood outside looking through the window, and I saw the joy and the laughter, and I broke down and cried, and I kept walking back to the streets, and it really hurt me. But then again, the enemy had such a strong hold on me that I wasn't broken enough. You know, yeah. I was still a slave to the enemy, but I remember I broke down there, but on my way again, I went out to the wilderness.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like something that a lot of us are familiar with, probably more than we like to admit, of trying to do things and fix things and to get by with things by our own power. And the Marines didn't work for you. Trying to clean up on your own probably didn't. Did any rehabs work? Did you try that?
Well, I'll tell you what, toward the end of my Marine Corps life, I had gotten a lot of trouble in the Marines. But toward the end, I get a phone call from my twin brother, and he tells me one of our sisters had committed suicide. Mm. She was caught up in drug addiction, and she had hung herself in my parents' backyard. I went home for the funeral service, and it was pretty tough to handle because I didn't know how to handle situations like that. No. God in my life. I had nothing to rest on. So a couple days later, after the funeral, I went to a buddy's house, and we were partying over there, and I witnessed his girlfriend. She pulled out a gun and shot him in the living room. I fled from there, and long story short, I got on my skateboard, and I took off from the scene. I was at my bitter end. I wanted to take my own life, yet my sister beat me to it. So I went on the streets. I was robbing and stealing and doing drugs, and I stole someone's car, fell asleep in the car, I got arrested. And when I was in military prison, I remember I took a shower, and I went to my rack, and I was sitting on my bunk, and this song came on by Whitney Houston, "I Will Always Love You." And I was thinking about the Lord. I always believed in God, though I didn't have a personal relationship with Him. But I sat on that bunk, and I cried out to Him, and I remember weeping, and then I was thinking, oh, wow, all these tough guys around me, they're probably staring at me. And I looked to the right and to the left and behind me, and the whole dorm was crying. So, but that was another time I cried out to the Lord. When I got out of there, my colonel, I told him about my drug addiction, and they put me into VA hospital for treatment.
Did that work?
Actually, it did. It did. For a little while, it did, actually.
Got you clean? Or
it got me cleaned up. I had got some hope. They helped me along with getting my life together. But it's weird. I felt like, okay, my life's together. I'd been off drugs long enough where I don't crave them anymore. Yeah. But I still felt something was missing inside me, and I didn't know what it was. I thought I believed in God. I never got into the Word, never went to church again, because I didn't like the upbringing of the Catholic Church that I was raised in. Nothing against Catholics, but just my own personal relationship with my family and my father, it wasn't attractive to me. So I just prayed to God, you know, but I was able to stay sober for quite a few years, actually.
You know what, though? I've been through that as well. And the way I describe that is it's almost like being a scarecrow propped up. You know, you feel pretty good for a little bit, but
you feel propped up. It's just right. Something's still wrong, you know, like you're one of those facades in the old Wild West movies or something. There's no real substance behind that facade. So what brought you to the point where you fully surrendered to Christ?
Okay. Well, I was, like I said, I did stay sober for quite a few years, like 7 years, but I still lived in sin. Prostitutes still, cheating on girlfriends, cursing, gambling addiction. Traded drug addiction for gambling addiction and trying to feel that emptiness inside. Well, what happened was a lot of friends of mine started dying because they were still caught up in their drug abuse. Yeah. Some really good close friends of mine were dropping like flies, and it was tearing me apart inside to see this happen. One of my really good friends committed suicide because he couldn't figure out, he couldn't find that something that would bring him peace and comfort to him. So drugs weren't working for him anymore. He committed suicide. So I went back out into doing drugs, started smoking PCP, started slamming speed in my arm and cocaine. Mm-hmm. I took off like a whirlwind. Mm-hmm. It was like a runaway freight train. There was nothing that can stop me. Many of my family members were trying to help me out, but they couldn't stop me. I was gone. There was nothing that I can do by myself to help myself. I couldn't figure it out. The obsession had me in its tight grip, and I couldn't figure it out. And then I got arrested for strong-arm robbery. That still wasn't enough to keep me from drugs. And then on September 15th of last year, I came to on a life support system from a drug overdose. When I left the hospital from downtown Long Beach, I was walking down Anaheim Street, and I cried out to the Lord. I'm like, Lord, help me. I started crying, and I can't explain it, but I felt the presence of the Lord for the first time. And I told my family, my twin brother, about my drug abuse, and he broke down crying, and he got mad at me. But I explained to him, I'm like, you don't have to worry anymore. For some strange reason, I believed I'm not going to get high anymore. I felt delivered right there. Mm-hmm. And then it was a month later, someone came up to me one night and started talking to me about Jesus Christ and preaching the gospel, some scriptures to me, and a light came on. And then they invited me to church, the sanctuary, 2 days later. So I'm like, okay, well, I wasn't really looking for the Lord. I know now it was a divine appointment. Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But still, I thought I was okay. I'd been clean and sober for a month or two at the time. I'm like, I'm all right.
Actually, that's quite an accomplishment at that time. You think you've reached the top of the world just by staying clean.
Yeah, yeah. You feel like, you know.
You could do anything you put your mind to.
Yeah. But then I look back now, well, I've tried it numerous amounts of times and you know, I never felt set free before.
Yeah, big difference, huh?
You know, I never felt the deliverance. And so I went to church that day and with no expectations, you know. It was actually a really beautiful girl invited me to church, and I thought she was attractive. So I had maybe alternative motives. But so I went to church that day, and the worshiping started, and it was like angels in heaven singing to me. And I literally started crying. Mm-hmm. I saw the words to the music on the screen, and it was glorious. It was absolutely amazing. And the pastor started preaching this powerful message. It was so prophetic, the words that were coming out of his mouth. And every now and then, of course, he's scanning everybody in the church. Every time he looked my direction, I thought he was looking right at me and speaking directly to me.
Sure.
And of course, it's the gospel he's preaching, so it's the word of God. You know, it's the word of God that's speaking through him to me. And I felt it was piercing my heart. And it was amazing. It was amazing. At the end of the service, he did an altar call. And he said, if there's anybody who's struggling with their life and they feel empty and disconnected from the Lord and they never accepted the Lord into their heart and into their life, or they want to rededicate their life to the Lord, come up to the altar. Mm-hmm. And that was 10 months ago. That was 10 months ago. And I ran up there and I dropped to my knees and I accepted the Lord as my Savior. And for once, I felt the Holy Spirit pour into my body and soul. And it was absolutely amazing. I've never felt the presence of the Lord like I did then. And the Holy Spirit continues to dwell inside me. And it was as if the Lord came down before me and said, follow me. And for me to turn away and walk away from the Lord again, when he's been knocking on my heart for so many years, no.
Unthinkable at that point.
It's unthinkable. It's unthinkable. You know it, brother.
You sound like somebody that really understands his mercy and grace.
It's amen. Especially after so many friends of mine have died, and I was considered the worst of the worst of sinners, you know, and there's so many others out there that live the same lifestyle that I lived, but...
Too many.
But like I was saying, I lost a lot of friends. I'm so fortunate, and I'm not worthy for God's mercy. I'm not.
Do you feel like you've been preserved for a purpose now?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And you don't have to know exactly what that is?
No. No. I wait patiently. My testimony is to demonstrate the power of God's grace. But my purpose is just to do God's will.
Amen.
You know, I have a new family of faith, whether it's an elderly man from my church, he's like a brother to me. I have sisters in Christ, you know, we're all God's children. Doesn't matter what walk of life that we all have our own testimony.
Incredible companionship and friendship like you never found in gangs, never found in the drug culture. Mm. Although there was those swearing allegiances, nothing
false
compares to somebody that is sincerely and credibly your friend out of love.
It's truly amazing. I'm out here in Galveston with three other brothers of mine from the sanctuary. And
let me bring this up because this is a really good point. Here you are. You've surrendered to the Lord now 10 months ago.
Yeah.
There are people that have been Christians for years, for decades, that have holed up into their little church lifestyle of going on Sunday and going to work 9 to 5. Mm. I'm afraid they're going to get down the road and look back while they're retired and say, what was that all about? Here you are, 10 months into it, and you've sprung into action into the service of others. What would you say to somebody that has just got comfortable doing the routine of church? What could you say to them right now to say, come on?
Oh, wow.
Well, how has this changed the way you look at things, just being here?
Honestly, words can't describe it, but I'll do the best I can.
Yeah.
It's been truly amazing to know that you're being of service to your Lord and knowing that we're chosen by God and we're only few. So you out there, if your Lord and Savior is Jesus Christ, you accept him in your heart, then you're chosen by the Lord. You're very unique. So therefore, you're chosen for a purpose. And your purpose, as the word says, is to go out and live the gospel.
Good choice of words.
You know, love thy neighbor. Share the gospel. Be of service. Help one another.
Amen. Well, listen, I encourage people right now that may have put on those fellowship faces for too long. You know, you go through your week being a little miserable. You come to church and you put on that happy face and that smile and you tell everybody everything's just right. I'm blessed and highly favored and you know all the right words to say. Mm. Take that mask off for a while. Get real like Matt has here with you today. Get real with your loving, living God. And you're not hiding anything from him anyways. Might as well get real. And you know what? For that matter, might as well get real with the people around you. You're not really fooling them anyways. It will change your life just to be honest. Thank you so much for joining us. Matt, it's just been incredible talking to you today.
You too.
Thank you so much for joining us today on Radio Friendships. We invite you back here next time where we bring you interviews with people that are impacting your world for the love of Christ. Have a great day. And God bless.
Thank you for listening to the Friendships broadcast today. Don and Sandra Tipton invite you to join them again next time as we stand in awe of the great God we serve. Friendships is based at Port Mercy in Lake Charles, Louisiana. For information about Friendships Unlimited, dial 337-433-5022 or go on the internet to friendships.org.